Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed. Always.
Questions that aren't being answered.
But we will. You did some good research, I'll say.
Yeah,
and
did
you did the bulk
of the research. Thank you very much.
Well, yeah, you did all the research, and
most of it is probably wrong.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, because there are some better researchers on board here in this episode than this person on my left, we'll just say. And let's see what we get into here, because Adam, I mean, this seemed like something you were texting me. I didn't see all the texts until I saw all of them, and I thought maybe I offended you, dude. So I was like, fuck, this guy's angry about what we said about the church. But what's going on up there in Oregon for you, brother?
Oh, you know, it's December in rural Oregon. It's pretty pretty dreary and dark and cold and wet. So, you know, could be worse, but it's a tough time of year up here. So
right.
It's awesome to be here. Thanks for doing this. I wasn't angry at you guys at all. Yeah, and it's really cool to get to meet Kim. Kim, just so you know, I am the number one respecter of women. I am a male feminist in the conspiracy podcast world. So if you ever want to renegotiate your contract, get out of that deal you got over there, we could use some fresh blood over here where you will be free from abuse, both physical and emotional. And we'd love to have you.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know what? A lot of it is mutual. It goes both ways. You just don't see it a lot or hear about it a lot. So it's
well, and you voted for Hillary Clinton, right, Adam? This is how feminist you are.
Yes, I did.
100%.
Wow. So, you're all the way. You're pretty much living in California.
I was living in California when I did that.
So was I. I was, you know, from California. So there you go.
Yeah, for sure. And then Ghost, very, very honored to have you on as well. We never talk, dude. We never talk. So this is nice to get a chance to talk.
I know, man. It's great to catch up. I mean, how you been over there? I mean,
it's been a while.
The weather in Arizona? It's been a while. I mean, probably like what, 24 hours maybe?
Yeah, maybe. We were watching this fucked up UFC 282, and I'm pretty upset about how that worked out. But we won't talk about that today. What were you going to say about it?
I didn't watch the main card. Was it a disappointment, or did you just lose a lot of money?
Yeah. No, you know, I mean, kind of a little bit of both. I didn't lose a lot of money because I don't ever bet much. I actually, the biggest bet of the night that I hit, I actually bet on the wrong dude, but it hit, so it worked out. But no, man, it was just very obvious the rigging that was going on in this one. And there's a lot of talk about it. You sent me, Kim, something just beforehand that Dana White was talking a lot about fight rigging being a huge concern. And then it was very clear that, like, I think there was 14 fights last night. nine of them were rigged, it seemed.
Man,
and it was
I thought the prelims, I watched all the prelims.
Those were great
prelims, and I thought it was that could have been a main card. And I was like, yeah, that was awesome. I don't feel so bad about not being able to get get the main card. But you know, maybe now that I think about it, maybe that last fight on the prelims, that Rosas, that young boy, maybe they're building that guy up a little bit.
100%. It seemed like the guy that he was fighting wasn't even there. It was just a body in front of him to put him up. So there was a couple fights like that, and then just, you know, the Patty Pimblett stuff, and you know, the main card, just a lot of nonsense. So I don't want
to
bore.
Yeah, I was sad to see that Bryce Mitchell lost. He was my favorite.
So. Mm-hmm.
Same.
Me too.
Same.
That was the one I put the most money on, and it was unfortunate. But hey, it happens. It happens. You win some, you lose some. We're hoping to have a good conversation about the Centralia stuff, though. So, Adam, what did you want to talk about here, man, as far as the church goes?
I really want to know what I messed up.
I don't know. That's the thing, is I don't know if you messed it up, because it sounds like you're just reading like signs and stuff like that. But when I heard you start talking about this church that's there, I've never looked at the town or anything. I really enjoyed the episode. And then you started talking of the reason. Okay, so the thing that caught my ears was when you said this Greek, Ukrainian, Orthodox, Catholic church.
That's right. How it was written. Sorry. That's how it was described. But yeah.
Yeah. So that, and then Ryan also had that mace, the guy that did the stuff about chaos magic and the maces on his show a while back, was an awesome conversation. But he made the same mistake and he said, these Russians are practicing this really strict, you know, Orthodox Catholicism that's resisting whatever, you know, the Western, what the West is falling into now. But I just wanted to stress that those are two very, very different things. Orthodox Christianity is not Catholicism. They are not in, they're both Christian religions, but they're not in what we would say communion with each other. I just want to put it out there. I go to Orthodox Church. I've been going since last May. I am coming here humbly, not as any sort of authority or representative of the church. I know very little, but I know enough to speak sort of intelligently about it. At least just a little bit of the way the church works. I don't really want to argue theology or anything like that with anybody, but I just want to get it out there. It seems as though orthodoxy has been coming up a lot in the news and in the conspiracy world lately. So I just want to put that out there as a disclaimer as well. I've been going to church since May, like I said, and it's been really, really positive for me. So I might also be seeing things through rose-colored lenses as well. So I also realize that when I'm talking about from my perspective. So yeah, just want to have that out there as well.
Well, and Adam, you're always really open, and I appreciate this. You're open about your sobriety, and this is, you know, something that you struggled with alcoholism in the past, and you have found something that's much more positive for you. I'm not saying this is your new addiction, dude, like at all. I'm just saying this is something that we see when people, you know, they overcome troubles in their past and they need some sort of outlet. I mean, I think that we all could use a little bit of church in our lives and so on, but this is something.
But I got sober 10 years ago, you know. So
right.
It took a while to get there. So
absolutely, and yeah. So what I'm saying though is that you are, you know, I'm not 100% familiar with like the whole AA program and everything. I know that they encourage you to find religion, find some sort of spiritual connection with your creator. Is that true?
They you're supposed to find a higher power. It was originally, you know, created as a Christian program in, you know, 1935 when it first started. But from there, just like every other Christian religion that's not under the authority of like one thing, it just branches out and goes all sorts of wild, crazy ways. And right. Eventually ends up in like some guy fucking your wife and butt stuff.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, that's
and butt stuff.
A little bit of butt stuff is, you know, and that whatever people like is fine. But I just, to me, the only reason I bring that up is because you are a very detail oriented person. From the little bit that I know about you, man, you seem like you pay attention to details. And what caught you off guard with this was that it had something to do with your religion, and it was kind of bastardizing it and lumping it in with Catholicism, right?
But yeah, but I was just also wondering if there is some sort of like there's enough on Orthodox Christianity to fill up a million hours of conspiracy podcasts with,
sure.
Just because of its like to understand. I'm so far off from even being able to understand 99% of anything. To understand it, you need to understand Russian religion from the start of time. You need to have an extremely well-versed in, you know, pre-Bolshevik Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution, the Soviet regime, the fall of the Soviet Union, and then up to now. You know, like to even be able to speak intelligently on the history of the church, you need to have a understanding of all that, because all that's so involved with it.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
why is the church so involved? Why is the church so involved with the government there? Like, why does, is that?
It's the, separation of church and state, which was supposedly a huge thing here in the U.S., but it's not in a lot of other countries.
Yeah. Well, I can speak to that very, very limitedly, if that's a word. But what happened in the, you know, in the 20th century was that the Soviet state was instituted, and communism doesn't want an independent, strong religion. They're not all the way against religion. They want a religion that the state is going to be infiltrated in and controlling.
Yeah.
Because the head in communism is the state. Nothing can be higher than the state. So if religion surpasses the influence of the state, well, that's no good. And that's why a lot of Christians say that communism was of the devil and all these things.
Which is what true Orthodox Christianity would do. It would be, it transcends whether people are Ukrainian or Russian and all this stuff like that. And there's a schismatic event going on right now in the Ukraine, where the Ukrainian government is trying to oust the current Orthodox Christian union, or whatever you would call it, and implement their own. And it's like the Zelensky-backed version of it. And they're trying to get rid of any sort of Russian influence in it. So that's what's going on there. But
Not turn this into a Zelensky bashing episode, because he's Time Person of the Year. So he's not wrong in any way, shape, or form. He's a good man.
So was
Stalin was also Time Man of the Year.
Dude, Matt from The Great Deception did a list. He ran down the Wikipedia. It's like Hitler, Stalin.
Stalin was like Man of the Year a couple times.
There's a guy in there named Hugh Johnson, too.
Kissinger had it. Kissinger is my pound for pound shittiest human being ever born. Ever created. Let me read this real quick, Adam. This is that thing that I sent you, and this will be the pushback on what the way that you're saying, which I believe, for the record, I want to get that out right away, that I am with you, that Orthodoxy is very different from Catholicism. But this was that thing that I sent you, and feel free to interrupt me, and ghosts too, feel free to interrupt when you hear something that is wrong in this guy's message. This is a guy named Brandon. I'm not going to give his last name out, but he's a listener of the show. Had a career in politics and international politics, if I'm not mistaken, and has some different insight to what you were saying there, Adam. So feel free to jump in at any time and say, like, no, this is bullshit that this dude's saying. He says, hey, Ryan, hope you're doing well, man. I just listened to the episode yesterday about Centralia, and I might have a little more clarification on why that church has Orthodox crosses. With it being Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, it is actually Eastern Catholic, which is completely different from the Western Roman Catholic Church. In America, when we hear Catholic, we tend to think that the Catholic Church that most Hispanics, Irish, Italians, etc. attend, but Eastern Catholics are different. They basically worship the same way as Orthodox Christians and same style. The only difference is Eastern Catholics recognize the Pope and Romans' authority, whereas the Orthodox Church does not. I know this because I was raised Protestant, but over the last few years, I have been drawn to Orthodox Christianity and studying it. There is also a Ukrainian Catholic Church by me, and I looked into them as well and studied the differences between Ukrainian Catholic, Roman Catholic, and Orthodoxy. Is there any issue there with anything that this guy's saying?
I didn't look into his whole text at all before I texted you that he was wrong. So I'll keep that one. But yeah, there's a Ukrainian. There's a lot of slobs in Northwest Oregon. So there's
is that what they call them?
Slavs. Yes, Slavic people. Yeah, Russians, Ukrainians, slobs. Also slobs. lots of them here. There's more Russian speakers in Oregon than Spanish speakers. It's like our second highest. Second language, you know,
that's crazy.
But yeah, I looked into the Ukrainian Catholic Church as well. There's a bunch of them around here too, and they look very, very similar to Orthodox churches. They have the same kind of iconography. I did not, everyone I looked at did not have, or they did not use the Orthodox cross though, but I could be wrong on that. Hmm. But what I was thinking when you guys originally said this, I was thinking that in Pennsylvania, there's a lot, maybe Ghost can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but from what my priest told me, yeah, see, that is not what you will see. That's the inside of a Ukrainian Catholic church. That is not what you'll see in a Roman Catholic church.
That's what Kim said, Adam. Yeah,
this doesn't make sense.
That's what's very strange about this.
Yeah.
Is and someone like you, Adam, that's much more educated on the Orthodoxy aspect of Christianity. I mean, I'm glad that you reached out, dude, because it sounds confusing, but we were just looking at what we saw and we were putting it out there. And so yeah. they're really mixing the Catholicism versus the Orthodoxy in this. And, and it doesn't make any fucking sense. That's why I called this lady.
So continue. Sorry, continue.
So down here in the lower right-hand part of the picture, what you'll see is a Ukrainian flag. You would never see the flag of a nation in a true Orthodox church.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. Did you notice that when we looked at it first? I didn't notice it. I was trying to make sure that was the Virgin Mary. Like
yeah, because they have the trident in their thing too.
Like I guess, that. Yeah, that's the Ukrainian flag. But
they call it Orthodox Mass is called Divine Liturgy. I noticed the Ukrainians call it that too. So, yeah. I mean, Orthodox Christianity is the original Christianity. In 1054, there was something called the Great Schism, and that's when Rome broke away from the Christian church and formed their own deal, began to worship the Pope and all that. And then everything went haywire from there. And then from there, we get Protestantism in, what, the 1500s or something. Yeah. But before 1054, there was no Orthodox Christianity. It was just Christianity, you know? There was no Catholicism. There was no Orthodoxy. It was just one. There was one church from Jesus and the apostles.
And then the Catholic Church was around before Jesus was even around.
No, the Catholic Church formed after that schism.
I heard that that's not true, though. Like, I heard that, like, you know how they say that the first pope was hand-selected by Jesus? That's, like, total BS, supposedly. Have you heard this, Ghost?
Mm-hmm.
That the Catholic Church was in business. The
Catholic Church was about 500... maybe 1500 years before Christianity was even considered.
Yeah, before Jesus even walked around, which is why the Catholicism religion
what's the sources and the evidence for that.
Dude, I'm educated when it comes to religion. This is just shit that I've heard. Where have you heard this, Ghost?
Yeah, that's the problem with conspiracy and religion is that a lot of the people that put forth the conspiracies about all this stuff happening have never had any life within any organized religion. And all this stuff can be addressed. Like, you just have to go investigate it inside of like a church, you know? And it's the same thing with, like I said, how Protestantism works is that if anybody can just start deciphering the Bible by themselves, it eventually leads to butt stuff and someone banging your wife, you know, if you follow it far enough down the line.
I went to Catholic school, and in my Catholic
church, that leads to butt stuff too. I did also.
Right, yeah, it does. That's a great segue. But no, in my Catholic church, when we would go into the church, there'd be an American flag there, and I just remember being there, an American flag, like at the doorway of the church that we'd walk into for mass and stuff. So. Yeah. That, like, I'm like, the Ukrainian flag's right there. I don't know. It wasn't Orthodox. I didn't know anything about, like, that there's Orthodox. That's weird. I went when I was in grade school, and I don't, you know, remember much, or I blocked it mostly out. But, yeah, that's crazy.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know anything about this, Ryan, so I can't really talk about it. Like I said, I don't really want – I'm not far enough into my theological studies to be able to debate whether the – Catholic Church started before Jesus Christ, which doesn't make any sense to
me. And I'm not either, to be honest, but that's just what I've heard. And what Catholic means, and I think you even said this, Catholic just means like universal, right? Like it's a universal religion. It makes sense that it would be around before Jesus, just in my head.
So they wouldn't be Christian at the start of it?
It would be I mean,
paganism.
It is pagan. Absolutely. Catholicism is paganism. I don't think that there's any distinguishing between that, because I think that the closest thing to Satanism is Catholicism. I say that all the time. I think that Catholicism is very, very backwards. They worship people versus the creator, right? With the saints and all this stuff.
Maybe current day Catholicism, but we're also in Vatican II, so I watched a thing on my friend Buck Johnson's podcast called Counterflow, and they had a Orthodox priest on talking about the Ukrainian thing, and they brought up the term ecumenism, which is a very, very important word. And ecumenism is the principle or aim of promoting unity among the world's Christian cultures. So that's like creating like a one world religion. That's ecumenism. And this schismatic thing that's happening in Ukraine right now, the fake church is a ecumenical bishop, someone who believes in all that wants one. They want all the Christian religions to be under one governing body. And so there's also CIA documents, doctrinal warfare is what they called it. And they would go into these places and they would infiltrate all the churches and orient them towards Western values. They did that with Roman Catholicism. The CIA did it. Believe it or not, Wim Hof, you know, the breathing walk up Mount Everest in shorts, cold guy.
No, I have not heard of this guy.
You don't know Wim Hof breathing?
No.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah, so he's like he's been on Joe Rogan a bunch and stuff. He does all this crazy stuff with ice baths. Walked up
Everest in shorts?
Yeah, with no oxygen.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, and he says you can. But so he has done a bunch of research on the Catholic Church and this doctrinal warfare and how the CIA was able to infiltrate and change it.
And that's what kind of we were referring to a little bit with the Orthodox, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. But I didn't know enough about it to you know, get deeper into it. Do you know much more about like the CIA infiltration? And you also said KGB, right?
Yeah. So my priest told us this story that he used to be before he was he used to be like a New Ager guy. And then he became a Protestant pastor, and he was like a chaplain at a hospital in Vancouver, British Columbia. And he used to see all the different, he would contact, like when someone was going to die, he would contact like whatever, whoever they wanted to come deliver the last rites to them. And he saw the Orthodox people come in and just like how well they had it down and were doing everything, which seemed right to him, even though he'd been trained this other way. So he wanted to go. It was before anybody that was American really was involved in the church. It was like 1983. And he said he wanted to go check out a service. So he went to a divine liturgy, and to go, the church was like fenced in with like barbed wire. You had to get buzzed in, tell them who you were, why you were there, and they'd maybe let you in. And then you'd go in, and the only people that would be inside were old Russian ladies, because under communism, nobody had the balls. If you were like a young man who went to worship at a church, they would just kill you or send you to prison camp. So the only people that were still doing it were old ladies, because they're like, what do we got to lose? They're not going to mess with us.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that that's because that's the right answer? Like, this is what people should be doing, is going to this institution of worship?
Why did the communists want to kill religious people?
I mean, yeah. Why is it only
because they want people only reliant on the state.
Okay.
That's why that's why communism wants no religion. They want the religion of the state.
Yeah.
Yeah. We mentioned that earlier. It's just, it's kind of mind blowing that like enough men go and worship at this place, what the fuck is the government going to do? If there's thousands and thousands and thousands of men.
You should go look into the Bolshevik Revolution and the Holodomor, because there's a number in between 5 and 7 million that one other group likes to talk about a lot, and the number that of Orthodox Christians that were murdered in the Bolshevik Revolution dwarfs that.
So. Yeah, the Holiday Moore stuff is crazy, but like what I've come to find out is like, is any of this shit actually real? Because we're like, there's a lot of evidence that talks about the Holocaust not being real. And I know that that's what you're referring to with the number between the 5 and 7 million, right? That's
I'm saying even if that is real and that that number can't be debated, they'll debate the number of Orthodox Christians that were murdered all day long and talk about it. But that's, you know, the amount of people that were killed by the communists is exponential compared to what was killed by that other group.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Holodomor Moore is the biggest genocide of all time, supposedly, right?
Yeah. And that's who they're murdering. It's, you know, the state's murdering.
And what was the one with India and what was it? Palestine? Was it Palestine and India?
Or are you thinking of Armenian genocide?
Yes. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
Bad. Yeah. And that was I think Turkey was killing them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, man. I don't know. I just find all this stuff so
depressing.
I mean, it's depressing.
Super
but
depressing.
I mean, I have here pulled up on Wikipedia, the Ukrainian Orthodox Greek Catholic Church. The way that this is kind of implying is that it's Ukrainian Orthodox and then Greek Catholics coming.
I looked this up because this is what you guys said on the show was what Kim said. And this is different than either just the Ukrainian Catholic Church or the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. Is Ukrainian Orthodox Greek Catholic Church. And I read through this, and this is not what I think is in Centralia. Because this is
not
some,
it. Yeah.
This is some real wacky, goofy, broke off shit. These guys aren't associated with anything.
Right. She said also the lady on the phone said that she was at a different location, and she said that yes, they have mass. You know, they have two different locations, but there is mass every Sunday, or there's like a, you know, service every Sunday. And so like, it wasn't a clear answer whether it was in Centralia or in this second location that they were at, but she like, they have two locations. And so I seriously doubt that they would have church in every Sunday in a city that's like supposedly dangerous to enter, you know, it just doesn't make sense.
But this one, this is just all in Eastern Europe. But I have a non-conspiratorial reason why there would be Orthodox crosses on that church, even though it's a Catholic church.
Okay. Right. Let's hear it.
And this is what I was saying, Ghost can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's what our priest told us. I think there are a large number of Orthodox churches in Pennsylvania because a lot of Slavic people went there to work in coal mines. Does that sound right, Ghost?
Yep. And they gave us a lot of good food, like pierogies, and they brought us halushki and all.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. There's
and
gonna be
most people here just refer to them as Polacks, but you know what I mean? That's just
blood sausage.
Idiots. You know,
so we're talking like Polish, Romanian, Ukrainian, Russian, all that Eastern Europe stuff. Like if you look at the percentage of what percentage of Romanian Christians are Orthodox, it's like 89%. It's so I think that when Centralia was a booming coal town, which you guys kind of said that it probably was at one point, even though we can't find what the population was at the height of it, which
and
is
the output
strange.
The output of coal is really difficult to find too.
So I think there's going to be a bunch of Slavs living there mining coal going to their local Orthodox Christian parish.
Right.
I think
and they're probably like unregistered Americans, you know, they're not American citizens, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a reason. I don't
maybe
know.
Yeah. And then so I think at some point, so the KGB was coming over in the 80s and infiltrating American Orthodox churches as bishops, selling all their iconography, getting rid of all the relics, everything in these churches in the attempt to destroy the spreading of Orthodoxy throughout the world. And they're doing that in Russia and in America. So I think at some point, whether it was because of the loss of population there, maybe because of KGB infiltration, maybe CIA infiltration, this doctrinal warfare that we're hearing. But the easiest non-conspiratorial thing to say is that the town got smaller. Somehow the Catholicism became the larger group of Christians there, and they just co-opted the church because that happens all the time now. Most Orthodox churches, it happens the other way. Most Orthodox churches are churches that the parish will get together. If they don't have a church that they built from the ground up, they'll go buy like an old Protestant church or something and make it into an Orthodox church. So I think that could be the possibility. And that would be why there's still Orthodox crosses on top of this church. Like I told Ryan, right, the one of the original Orthodox churches in Portland is now like a black Southern Baptist church with like neon crosses and stuff on the outside of it, mm-hmm, you know, like that. But it still has the Orthodox crosses on it. Like our priest went there to like look at it and he talked to their pastor and he didn't even know like what Orthodoxy was.
And see, that's such a shame, man, because it makes it, it really lets the people know that this is just a fucking business, man. Religion is a fucking business. Unless, and you know, and everyone thinks that they're doing it the right way. But if you're willing to take, like, let's say it was a Jewish building, and this is an extreme example, but let's say you're taking a Jewish building with, you know, Seal of Solomon, Star of David, whatever you want to call it, all over the place, you would change that if you were worshiping the cross. But since this is just a different, slightly different variation of the cross, it's like, no, that's fine. But dude, that's an entirely different sect of religion. So why not remove that cross that doesn't represent what you believe versus just leaving it up and be like, well, no, it's historic. That shows it's a business and that's adding more of a novelty to the church itself, saying like, oh, no, this is old. We can't fuck with that. That goes against your religion.
Yeah, another thing that you'll notice with Orthodox churches, and it has to do with the hierarchical structure of the church, is that a Catholic church has a pointy steeple. And it's so our priest told us that that is in reference to the top of the sphere, or the top of the point being the head of the Catholic church, which is the Pope. Yeah. Whereas an Orthodox church will have a rounded dome. And that's in reference to there's no one.
Like the Capitol building.
There's no one ultimate authority. The authority of our church is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how all different religions do that. Like the Mormon religion, they all have like the dude at the top pointing in the direction of the original temple, right? I don't know if you've seen that. It's supposedly a 24 karat gold statue, which is wild. And then, you know, with Islam, they all, you know, bow and they pray towards the Mecca. You know, all that stuff. It's weird, man. Do you have any ideas why this would still be here and why it would be, you know, it does seem like the town's beacon and they seem to put a lot of effort and energy into like keeping this thing running.
Yeah. Who knows? It looks, when you were there, Ghost, did you see it?
Yeah. We drove as close as we could get to it. Cause when we were down on the graffiti highway and before we went to the graffiti highway, we were kind of like looking around and there's like maybe five houses still there. And we noticed this church and we were like, man, that's pristine. And we went, did the graffiti highway and everything. And then we kind of drove around, like there's still the old streets. I mean, they're cracked and what have you, but there's no where they tore most of the buildings down, but you can drive up to where the church is. Now it's gated off. It said no trespassing and what have you. Couldn't, you know, go on it, but I took pictures of it. However, I had memory issues on an old phone and probably erased them because I was looking for them and I couldn't find them, but my wife still had some of them. And that's what I sent to Ryan, but it's very well kept. Same with the municipal building, very well kept. And even the last few houses that are there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I looked it up too, and I like looked up, there's like reviews for it, you know, if you just look it up on not Yelp, but just on like whatever Google throws up, and a bunch of people reviewed it and said that like, yeah, it's a great parish. I've been going there for 10 years, stuff like that. So it'd be interesting, Ghost, if you could ever get out there on a Sunday and see if there's an actual service going on.
I could actually probably try and do that. I will say why it might be upkept is in that part of Pennsylvania. Okay, if you go, I don't know, maybe 15 to 20 minutes towards where I live, the first town you're going to come to is Mount Carmel, and then you're going to come to the next biggest town would be Shamokin. Now, in those areas, you will have, and it's always been a running joke, you will have like five churches on you know, it seems like on a block and three bars in between them. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like church bar, church bar, church bar, church bar, church bar. And
the only radio station that comes in is Christian music or Christian radio stations.
No, no, no. We get a nice variety of country and some classic rock. So,
oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah, the country and rock and roll there, dude. You know, it is kind of like a weird scene to see this beautiful church in like a hell town. I mean, the way that they portray the town. There's fire underneath it. Like it's always Centralia and then flames under it. Like when they do like graphics for the town.
The place where hell is the closest to earth.
It's strange. Yeah, it's very strange. And then there's this beautiful church.
The steps kind of look like there was fireworks lit or something on the steps. There's like burn char marks on the steps up to it. But there's like cable and internet access going, like wires going into the church. So it works. People go there, you know. People probably work there every day for a town that doesn't like is burning to death. And
supposedly there's five people that live in this damn town and there's this fucking church that is like, you know, supposedly hosting people every single Sunday.
And there's
doesn't make any sense.
There's supposedly like this bustling diner that everybody goes to that. I don't know if you saw it there, Ghost, but like there's.
I don't remember the diner. When you guys brought that up, I was like, I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, there's like talks about people going to this diner and meeting all these people, but like there's no pictures of it. There's no videos of it. So I have no idea. I have no idea. Mm.
Got to schedule a field trip. Adam, we got to go up there and meet Ghost. See what's up.
I want to go spelunking in one of the caverns that's supposedly so deep. I want to get some like rope and go down into the cave.
Everything. You would not make it 5 feet down. She actually.
There's not like really. See, when I was kind of telling Ryan this, the way they mine the coal, especially in this region of Pennsylvania, it was called strip mining, where they would just they'd go on a mountain and they'd just take a layer, like a strip of mountain off and mountain off, mountain off, mountain off until they hit coal. When most people think of coal miners, they think of like what you'd see down in like West Virginia or Virginia.
Zoolander.
Where they actually go in.
Think Zoolander 1.
And go, yes. And go into caves and blowing it up and you have the canary and all that. It's not really done that way much anymore.
Got it. Yeah, I'm glad that you made that distinction for us. I'm really interested in Western Pennsylvania. It seems like a really weird place to me. I've never been to Pennsylvania at all. And then that's kind of the convergence of like Appalachia, the East Coast and the Midwest. So, have you ever seen the movie Out of the Furnace?
Mm-mm. I don't think
so. It's really good. It's got Christian Bale and the Green Girl from Ghost Guardians of the Galaxy and Woody Harrelson. You guys, it's on Amazon Prime. You guys should watch it. I watched it the other night. It's really good. And then
should we watch a trailer?
Yeah, sure. It is. And then All the Right Moves with Tom Cruise, his like one of his first movies is in Pennsylvania coal country. And then they're famous for pumping out quarterbacks, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Pennsylvania is an incredibly interesting place. I went there one time. We went to a national motocross race at a track called Bud's Creek. And when we were driving home, there was like all kinds of Amish, like just watching all the, you know, what they would call freaks, us.
Yeah.
Just going by and they're like waving. They seem super nice. You know that they got death in their eyes.
I went to an Amish farmer's market with my friend and like she was a model friend and she was just like, okay, you got to watch your tone. You can't say anything there. And the first thing I did was I asked this giant Amish man for some deviled eggs that he had in his case. And they're not called deviled eggs. They're called farm eggs. Yeah. And he literally just took
my Satan eggs, sir?
Yeah. He like pointed to how much it was, took my money and dropped my change in my hand and did not like speak to me because I said the word deviled eggs to him.
Well,
like
that's
I was like, shunned.
What did he call them?
What? They were called farm eggs. That's what it called. But it was a deviled egg, farm dude. Eggs. Yeah, it was just a farm egg. And I'm like, also,
I always kind of wondered what they called them because I live here and I never even thought about what they would call a deviled egg.
I saw the weirdest thing. My friend lived in like Amish country. So I saw the first time I seen Amish people, the weirdest thing at this farmer's market, there was like Chinese Amish people, Chinese.
At least they're not driving, huh?
Yeah, Ryan, your audio just completely left.
It's because the Amish has the highest adoption rate in the country because they mm-hmm. are approved to adopt children, and they do constantly, so there's no inbreeding. But yeah, they adopt a lot of kids. It's crazy.
Oh, does our audio sound fucked up?
You were just muted for a second.
Okay, yeah, sorry. Oh,
it's like face. Muted.
Yeah, I was just Kim talking about how much she hates Asians. But let's see this trailer. Let's see this trailer for Out of the Furnace. This is interesting here. I like movie trailers in the middle of episodes.
Russell, you work too much.
Gotta bring home the bacon to fatten you up.
How much you loan you?
$1,500.
I ain't got that kind of cash lying around to bail you out.
Bro, you want to get a drink later?
Yeah. And a liquid dinner?
You want another?
No, Rodney was supposed to meet me here half hour ago.
Now, why the hell you want to fight?
I just need the money.
You gonna be a good boy and take a dive? Am I gonna have to teach you a lesson?
They haven't been able to find your brother, the people up in those hills, at their own greed of justice, and it does not include us.
This DeGroat is the worst. He haunts those mountains.
Please don't do anything for me. You don't want to go there.
We're going to get one shot at this guy. You ready for this?
Ronnie Bays' brother. I ain't leaving without him.
Forgive me my sins, oh Lord. Forgive me my sins. Forget and forgive what we have been.
You're a good kid with a good heart.
Hey, Dad.
I love you.
Get up.
You got 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What is this about, Adam?
That preview didn't do a very good job of like setting up what the movie's about at all. Can you hear
that? Was just the official trailer.
I feel like I watched a movie watching that, but if it's not even about that, that's weird. So yeah. We should watch it because we'll watch another movie. Like it's the same movie.
Like, what's it about?
I will say, watching the trailer though, like a lot of those scenes, I was like, man, that looks just like Shamokin or Mount Carmel or up near, right near yeah. where Centralia is in certain ways they filmed it.
Yeah, that landscape and like having houses in the hills like that and like mills and stuff around is so foreign to anything that we have on the West Coast. So it seems really, really, really interesting to me. But it's definitely worth a watch. It's a good movie. I've watched it multiple times. So
what's it about?
His brother's doing like underground bare knuckle fighting.
Okay.
And Christian Bale ends up in prison, gets out, rebuilds his life, you know, all sorts of stuff. I don't want to give away too much. If I told you the plot of it, it would reveal parts of it that would spoil some of the movies.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's interesting, man. Yeah, that whole part of the country is interesting. That's what's kind of cool about the U.S., man, is that we have like all these different regions. Like I'm in the Southwest. It's a very iconic region in its own right. And then you have New England, and then you have the South. And then, you know, the middle of the country, as boring as a lot of people like to make that seem, it's very interesting too. And then Northeast, where you're, or Northwest, I should say, where you're at, Adam, it's iconic in its own right too. Like every, it's like 7 or, I mean, you can even say like 12 different countries here in the U.S. just by the regions. It's kind of weird, but
yeah,
it's almost kind of like what we were talking about earlier with food. When I said I gotta correct myself when I'm going to say I'm having chicken and waffles, because I'm not having the Southern style chicken and waffles where it's a piece of fried chicken on a waffle with syrup or honey or whatever. Up here, it's the Amish style where
You sounds gross.
Shred
by
your
way.
Chicken. It's no different. Think of it as like a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. You put gravy over all your turkey, your mashed potatoes. Okay. Well, what we do is we shred all the chicken, we put it into the gravy, and let that kind of simmer and cook together. Then we have a side of mashed potatoes usually and corn, and we put that gravy on top of waffles and your potatoes, and you eat it.
I mean,
okay, so I was on board
the with Amish for
everything until you said waffle.
Yeah, not yeah. on board with that. But yeah, he says that that's better than the Southern chicken and waffles, which is interesting.
I don't know, man. I'm really not a fan of chicken and waffles. I do dip my bacon in like syrup of waffles, but not so much a fan of the chicken in the waffle.
Like
syrup.
We don't put any syrup on it. It's just, you know, it's basically chicken in chicken gravy.
Right.
It's not hard. You know what I mean? And then you just, instead of putting it on just your mashed potatoes, you put it on over top of waffles as well. Some people put it over bread. Kind of like I guess that would be more of like a knockoff of a open face sandwich, but yeah.
I feel like they opened a Roscoe's chicken waffles like right by Knott's Berry Farm or something like that. Like either one of those big, it was a big deal when it opened in Orange County, like Southern California. And when it opened, it was a big deal. There was hours and hours long wait, and it was literally just chicken with a waffle. You know, like it was really weird. It was always really crazy and busy.
Yeah, I lived in Oakland for a long time. So yeah, every time chicken and waffles should be awesome, but every time I've gotten it, it's just it's exactly what you said, Kim. Yeah. And it's always like for like a two piece and a waffle, it's like $19.
Yeah, that should be $5.
Try my like version.
2 hour wait and $19.
That should be $5.
And people that most likely don't want me in their restaurant, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's real rough being a white person and going to Roscoe's. Oh, dude, it's rough.
And you're you're bald too. That's not a good look in a black restaurant ever.
In Southern California, you used to have to drive to LA to do it, and that's not good. So yeah, I can imagine an Oakland chicken and Roscoe's. Dude, you're brave.
Chicken and waffles.
Chicken and waffles. You're brave.
A waffles, chicken and Roscoe's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, can you pull up images of Shamokin, PA, which would Shamokin or Mount? Yep. Shamokin or Mount Carmel, which are the two closest towns to Centralia, kind of give you the vibe of
images.
What Centralia kind of might have looked like back when it did have houses.
I nailed the spelling on that, by the way. I really didn't think I was
pretty
going
surprised.
To.
That Tom Cruise movie that I was talking about, All the Right Moves, they live in a town. I don't know if it's a fictional town. It's called Ampipe, Pennsylvania. But it's really good. He plays like a cornerback on this high school football team. And Craig T. Nelson, the coach, is the actual coach. And at one part, he gives like this really awesome like pregame speech.
Church.
Yeah, that's right across from each other. Right there, because you could tell by the dome.
A dome and a point right across.
So that's going to be like probably some sort of whatever Protestant church is that they have in that area, whatever the reigning Protestant religion is.
It's very interesting. I mean, it looks really cool though, man. It's very cinematic, this town.
Yeah. Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Just a lot of history over there. There's more documented history in that area of the country than there is over here. But obviously, there's history everywhere.
Pull up a map, because when I was looking up research to where the fire is going, because it's not in Centralia anymore. Like it's like some say 5 miles, some say 7, some say 10 miles from town on the outside of town. The dogs are going crazy. But
what direction?
What was weird is that I saw this map all of a sudden pop up, and it was like going to a town that started like with a B-E-T-H something or whichever. So I want to see the cities near that town, and anything that starts with a B that's near it, that's the one that's like in jeopardy in the next 50 years.
What I was going to say real quick, though, before we get into that, is that there is Centralias all throughout the world, including one in Oregon. Did you know that?
There's Centralia, Washington, that's right up the road from us.
That's weird.
Yeah.
There's like one in Oregon as well.
I wonder what so. The. I wonder
that's
what the,
Washington. See, Centralia, yeah. Washington, right there.
Okay, well then, that was more bad information from a fur.
I thought it was so, Oregon. My bad. Because every time.
Yeah,
I
she did cooking. Think that Las Vegas was touching Washington. I think. Or no, was it?
Are you going to bring that up?
I think
you guys
so.
Are.
My name is
guys,
Bud.
This, I'm so proud of you for cutting down on the alcohol, but this marijuana is really affecting your judgment.
It's not. No, she can't drink. She can't drink at all.
No, I don't drink. Yeah. But what I'm drinking out of this is just green tea.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. She is bad with geography.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Centralia, Kansas, Centralia, Iowa, Centralia.
I wonder what the root word of that meaning is.
Illinois.
You know, like
it means a center. Like they tried to call this town Centerville. But there was already a weird. Centerville taken in Pennsylvania.
Like the circle, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. So, I mean, you just have them in Australia, Canada, and the U.S. I don't know. It's interesting, though. And what we were like, the reason that I brought that up is there's a pretty big coal mine in the Washington Centralia as well. And it seemed like these underground fires were going to potentially meet if they were real. But I don't even think that there's really a fire burning there anymore, to be honest.
Yeah, like I said, if we can pull up a map of the...
Well, I was looking at my map
on
Google. There's no town that starts with BE or anything like that close to it.
Near it? That's weird. Mm-mm. So like I said, again, another thing that was pissing me off about this town and the coal fire is that like I was getting all kinds of conflicting stories to where by the end of it, like I said, I was looking at YouTube videos, the most recent being like only a couple months ago. And the guy's like, they say there's no access, but he's like driving through, passing all this shit. And then he spots a couple other cars driving through too. So I'm like, everything that they tell tourists about this town is a fucking lie. And that just bugs
me. Pretty much.
There's so much misinformation.
Two active truck routes, Route 42, Pennsylvania 42 and Pennsylvania 61.
Yeah.
61 will if you're on that and you keep going 61 south, you'll run into Frackville, Shenandoah. It's
right,
spelled
and Shenandoah, so that's what led me
and then Redding, and what have you. And then if you go on 54, that'll take you over to Mount Carmel, or you can go to Ashland, Aristus. All four sorts of things. So I don't know where these people are getting that kind of information. It's almost like they're trying to keep the mystery alive of whatever the frick, now I'm drawing a blank on the video game that they made out of it.
Silent Hill. Thank
and
you.
And it's like,
evil, but no.
It's nothing like that because even when we were there, I was wearing shorts and a hoodie. So it wasn't full on warm yet, but I mean, I should have saw steam or something. And people haven't seen that in years. Now, if you go a little bit south of, Centralia, there is a thing called a big mine run geyser, and it's just a tiny little geyser that goes off. It's not like Old Faithful or nothing, but I think it's probably caused by some of these mine fires because Old Faithful is caused by a super volcano, underneath Yellowstone, where we don't really have natural geysers out here because we don't have any volcanoes, but it's close to Centralia and the mine fire.
I heard that Old Faithful, the geyser stopped going off for a while and people were like super concerned about it, that it was gonna just like cause a bunch of gas and tension and make the big volcano go up, but that was a while ago. Yeah, that was a while ago. I heard that it since went off, but it like had a period of not going off of like 12 or 15 years. I don't know. I can't remember the story, but I do remember like I saw it when I was a little kid. And then I remember hearing that it stopped working, which when I was there and they told me like, the little tour that you take, that's a very, very bad thing if it stops going off regularly.
Well, so, how long have they been just, there's that whole story that there's a volcano in Yellowstone that's going to, if it blows up, we're all dead. How long has that been going on? And then, I lived in the Bay Area forever where there's actual earthquakes, and I moved up to Northwest Oregon, and I realized that it's been, and I lived here when I was a little kid, and then they would always talk about like, there's going to be a big earthquake that's going to hit Oregon for once, because we don't really have earthquakes here. It's going to be so big that it's going to, there's going to be a giant tidal wave, everybody's going to die. And then I got back up here in 2018, and that same thing's going, and it's like, it's always next year. It's all fucking bullshit.
Yeah, it's
like even wrote a song about it.
Yeah, it's like fear. We don't have a great war or anything like that. So like the generations that we are in right now have to have some kind of fear to keep us at bay, you know.
Well, that's what the gender bullshit is. That's our struggle. Yeah, it's a right
culture
now,
war.
Yeah,
man. Now, well, I mean,
the picture you have up, Ryan.
Yeah,
that is the old way. There are still a couple, like there's a core that you can take in Shamokin that you can go through an old coal mine, like what you're showing here.
Yeah, and this is so funny.
Not long after Centralia and all that is when they started doing more of that, what I was saying, strip mining, where they would just pull layers of dirt because it was obviously more safe than, you know, going down and digging, you know, caves and tunnels and all this other stuff. But that's supposedly, you know, how it happened. They were burning their trash in the community and it caught a vein of coal on fire that was a little too close to the surface. And yeah, apparently it was one of the largest veins in Pennsylvania.
I like that step four there.
I still think my crazy KGB theory to where it's a weird like town that all these spies are practicing to be Russians. You know, it's like the opposite of that.
I wish so bad because my wife even said, well, have they ever been there? I said, well, considering Ryan and Kim live in Tucson, Arizona. No, I don't think they've ever been.
Yeah, I've never been there.
I wish I could take you there because you would be so highly disappointed.
But that's the thing.
Everybody pulls this hype up and you drive through there and you're like, wow, okay.
Well, yeah, that's
no hype.
So that makes you think that there's nothing going on. That's the whole
thing. Well, yeah, that's
thing.
The point of that's that movie. Yeah, but that's the point of that movie is that everybody's acting like a normal American, but really they're practicing to be Americans because they're KGB spies.
It could be because it is in the middle of nowhere in central Pennsylvania.
You maybe know, that's like, where they I mean, put, I mean, the, what is it called? The FBI protected when you're protected and they change your name and you have to
witness protection.
Witness protection program. They have those little towns that wouldn't be.
You should know that after you got fired from BlackRock.
Right. God, what was I thinking? Yeah. Yeah. They didn't put me in that. Should I be worried?
Yeah, no. Probably. There's three people here that want to kill you on this call. But no, yeah, it's interesting, man. It's very strange how this town just seems. And yeah, on the surface, like it seems like something real sexy. And then when you look into it a little deeper, it's like nothing. And then when you look into it past that, there's definitely something going on. Yeah. So that's why I think that it's just a weird place, dude. There's definitely something up with that church, I think, like first and foremost. I don't know if they're trying to like mislead people or if it's like some sort of like bomb sanctuary. I think like I stand behind the idea that the reason why they say that there's a fire going on there is in case shit hits the fan. There is like multiple years and generations worth of coal in that area. If the United States had to shut down and like make it so like, yeah, we got to go back to like the fucking 1800s and just power the country, that area can do it for generations. So
maybe,
I mean, that,
maybe
that
there's
might be.
Maybe there's like a Stargate or an entrance to the center of the Earth in the
that'd
basement,
be sick.
In the basement that, of that church.
That'd be nice.
I thought,
that would be cool. I will say when Trump was running for election against Hillary Clinton that Adam voted for, all you saw in this area.
Maybe not
here, but like when you get out closer to Shamokin and what we call coal country, all you saw was Trump digs coal, you know, that
clean coal,
like that,
clean
you know?
Coal.
Yeah.
Well, there is clean coal.
I know, but it sounds funny when he says it like that, you know, you gotta like, kind of.
Yeah, but all you saw was these, you know, political signs that said Trump digs coal. And you had people like, there's this one town. I'm trying to, I forget the name of it, but you go through it. It's just a little blink of a town. I think it might be Sacramento. But there, this house actually has a little mine cart out there with I don't know if it's a real big chunk of coal in it or if it's fake. And to this day, they even Trump digs coal, you know, and
it's like Joe Dirt. It's like a frozen turd that fell from an airplane in Joe Dirt.
Yeah.
That's a big old chunk of poopy. Yeah, dude. No, I think that this is an incredibly interesting thing. And you know, Adam, I was real happy that you were down to talk about your thoughts on this a little bit. Closing thoughts, just to summarize it. What do you think is up with this church? Just to simplify it and make it like, you know, a ending idea here.
Non-conspiratorial. I think it was originally an Orthodox church that somehow changed hands when the population of the town fell and became a Ukrainian Catholic church that was just able to pick up and go where the original church had left off.
And why do you think that they would put an effort? Because churches in bustling towns shut down and they demolish churches in bustling towns. Why would they keep this church up and just change hands, you know, going from whatever hand to whatever other hand? Why would they keep it alive rather than just getting rid of it in a town with a very, very low, single digit population, supposedly?
Maybe there's some sort of historical registry or something like that that's keeping it alive. Maybe it was an important church in the Ukraine. I mean, it's hard to tell because we can't find really any information on it. Maybe it was an important addition to the Ukrainian Orthodox Church in America, and it serves as some sort of landmark for them that they right. wanted, and they're this is non-conspiratorial. I love conspiracies. I'll go as far as you want on them too. But maybe they're just paying to keep it up because it was the original one in Western Pennsylvania, and it's a beautiful church, and they wanted to keep it.
Huh. Yeah, what a hell of a location, literally a hell of a location to try and keep this in. It's strange. So there's more to it. Even after two episodes, there's much more to it. And that's what's kind of frustrating about the whole topic. I don't know. Yeah, I appreciate your input on this for sure. But, man, there's got to be more to it. And maybe I can set up a call with somebody that works there and try and find out more about what's going on. Cause it does not make sense that they're able to fill this church every single Sunday with non-government employees.
We don't know lack if of it's a, that church though either.
Well, we it talked really, with the lady.
It was cool that you guys actually like did the research on the church, on the cross too, because like I said, the Orthodox cross is different. I'd never heard of the, how the bottom part that his feet are nailed to is skewed, and one part points to heaven and one part points to hell on the corresponding side of the two thieves or whatever who were crucified with him. One accepted him as his savior while being crucified and went to the kingdom of heaven, and the other one didn't, and who knows what happened to him. So
and so
that's corresponding to the side that's pointing up is pointing to the one that accepted Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
and I had never heard that, and I knew that the top bar said Jesus King of the Jews. I never knew that. That's what I'm a big fan of, like religious tattoo imagery as well. And I would always see like the Jesus with the inry above him. And I never knew that that's what that meant.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely weird. I'm trying to find it really fast here.
He's got like 72 pages or tabs open on his computer, and it's running fucking mega slow, and he's just like, why isn't this working? Well, no,
this is a 3,000 page document. This is the papal cross.
I know, so
this
but you've got like all these tabs open and you wonder why it runs.
Yeah, I'm doing research. So this is the papal cross. This is a little bit different than the one that we see there. Yeah. But they do have
email me this PDF.
Hey, it's on my Instagram. Look at that one. Look at that piece right there. Yes. I mean, this is on my
Patreon. That's a nice looking hog.
Yeah, this is on my Patreon. This is a document that I shared with all my patrons, and it has all of the.
Oh, I think you just, there it is.
Yeah.
All the different symbols. Yeah, this is a Latin cross with two additional crossbars at the top and a slanting bar at the bottom that resembles the footrest that some people argue was a feature of the cross upon which Christ was crucified. The additional bar at the top of the cross represents the initials INRI, meaning Jesus of Nazareth, King of Jews, a phrase designed to taunt Jesus. And because the lower footrest slants diagonally, it symbolizes two directions, heaven and hell. And it is interesting that it's going up. Like if you're looking from left to right, it's going in a positive direction. It's not going from bottom to bottom or top to bottom. The thieves who were executed at either side of Christ have their destiny symbolized by this slant. The repentant thief takes the upward path towards heaven, while the other not at all repentant, takes to hell, goes to hell. Sorry. So, I mean, interesting stuff, man. But yeah, ghost,
I will ask my, I go to catechism class every Thursday night, which is like, you know, where you go to learn about Orthodoxy before you get baptized. And I will ask my priest on Thursday.
Yeah, please do, man. Yeah, and let me know. And then we can maybe
the
do
that. Like you a... just said that, Adam. I remember when I, this is still when I lived in Idaho, my mom was Catholic. And I remember going to catechism. And
yeah, they call it a CCD.
Yeah. I had to and do it. There was another one. Is that the one that you have to go to catechism in order to take communion as well?
You go to first place. When you're a little kid, and so you get baptized as a Catholic as a little baby if you're born into it.
Yeah.
And then you go to like first communion classes when you're around kindergarten, first grade, and then you take your first communion after that's done.
Yeah, because my mom, they always had this picture she kept in her china cabinet with some other Catholic imagery, a candle and what have you. But it was me that I guess I graduated or completed that class, and yeah, I was able to, you know, take communion or something. I don't really, because like you said, you know, kindergarten, I was probably kindergarten, first grade at that time. And to back it up to that church with this cross, when I first went to Centralia, and came back that Monday when I went into work, the one guy that worked there at the time was a really devout Christian, almost borderline Mennonite. And that was the first thing I asked him. I said, "What is this cross? I've never seen this cross." And he tried to explain it like, you know, it's Orthodox, but he really couldn't. You know what I mean? And the fact that you guys broke it down, I was like, oh, okay, this makes more sense now. But I do remember, you know, asking him, because I was like, well, this dude, you know, I mean, he goes to church every single day of his life. And, you know, maybe he would know something, but it didn't really make any sense to him either.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got a new icon today. This is a Noah icon of Noah's Ark.
Oh, shit. Hold on. Let me give you the full form here. Yeah, what is that?
It's a Orthodox icon of Noah's Ark.
Wow.
That's cool looking.
It looks like a slave ship.
Yeah, but you can see the animals. You can see like the lions, and there's some leopards down here.
Wow, so. Dude. Is it a book?
No, it's like it's a piece of wood.
Oh, dude, that's wild. Yeah, that's
so. Yeah, if you go into Orthodox church, like everything, this is what's covering the walls is icons of events and mostly saints. And like a church will be named after either a saint, usually a saint. My church is named after the Annunciation, which is when the Archangel Gabriel went and told Mary that she was going to be the mother of God.
And where'd you get that?
I got this just at the church bookstore.
Dope.
Yeah.
You didn't steal it off the wall?
No. No.
Could you imagine? Yeah, standing there like talking about the church. And you're like, yeah, I got this. Yeah, no, that's awesome, dude. That's really cool.
Yeah.
The last thoughts that I wanted from you guys here. What do you think about this seal? This is the family crest of that leader of the church. And really quick, let me just remember.
Oh, the Ukrainian Catholic Church?
This is this guy, this dude that is really good friends with the Pope. There's all kinds of images of him.
Tell me he does not look like Zelensky.
I mean, yeah. Come on. Let's not bring that up. But
what
yeah,
is that guy?
It's his name is Sviatoslav Shevchuk, we'll say. But I'm
great pronunciation, guys.
Very curious. Very curious about his
better than episcopal. So he's doing a lot.
Yeah,
better.
Episcopal. I'm learning, dude. But this little thing back here, these symbols that looks like bird's feet, really was something that I was focused on. But what are your guys' thoughts on this crest? And then we'll wrap up because I know you guys probably have other shit that is much more fun to do than this. But what do you think?
No, not really.
What do you think here about this, Adam?
About the, I do not have any idea what those might be.
I mean, just, I mean, you see this caduceus right here around this cross, which is, let's go back to this. There's another variation of the cross that has just.
Well, first bring up that symbol that you'll have to scroll back down or up. I don't know which way you're going. It looks like a bird's feet.
Yeah. Well, that's one that was very interesting too, but I'm trying to find that cross. It's the double cross, as we say. Let's see here. That's the upside down.
While you're doing that, my thoughts of why this church is actually still operating, when I believe it was Kim was saying, you know, these people, you know, relocated to other communities. Okay. Right. Now, these other communities aren't that far away, like Mount Carmel, 5-10 minute drive. So if they were already practicing in this church or obviously this has been a hot minute since this happened, you know, the kids now, maybe not now, but, you know, maybe more our age, they're still going to go to that church that they were raised in. You know what I mean? So if they located to Mount Carmel or Ashland or whatever, it's not uncommon for some people that, you know, I don't know how long of a drive Adam has to go to church, but, you know, it might be anywhere, you know, people travel half hour to an hour around here to go to their church of liking.
I drive an hour and 15 minutes twice a week.
Wow.
I mean, it's good for you though, dude. Like if you find something that works for you.
Absolutely.
It's great. It's a lot better than fucking drinking and, you know, smoking weed like the two of us do. A lot better, honestly. And I don't even mean that in like any kind of joking way, dude. It's such a when I feel problems, like when I'm like struggling with something, I always pray. And it gives me some peace of mind always. Like I'm not even like halfway joking about that. I pray constantly. I tell her when she's freaking out about something to pray about it. Mm-hmm. But this cross that we see all over this dude's seal is a cross Lorraine, which I mentioned in the previous episode, and it's used in Freemasonry, and it was also to go against the Nazis. So this is like an anti-fascist symbol. You see that right there and at the top of the caduceus as well, right? Like with the two snakes, you see it at the top of the crown. You see the crow's feet or the seal of the Bustard with these feet. A dove of peace in the middle, looking to be in front of some sort of book. We'll assume that's the Bible.
I'd say the Bible.
You'd think so. This is what's really interesting to me too, because you have a dude in the middle with, you know, a messianic figure. Oh, it looks like it's like good and evil, right? You got a red dude and a blue dude. I don't know, man.
I think those are three archangels, and I think they represent the Trinity.
You think these three do?
And that yellow around their head means they're divine.
Yeah, I think they're archangels because there's an icon above our, the center of our, like the altar area. That's the, I forget which three archangels, but it represents the Trinity.
Okay, so then couldn't we say that this is the Freemason Trinity as well, with like Haram Abiff, because that you have a Freemason symbol right here. That's a Freemason symbol, this thing right in the middle, and the thing at the top completing this like square, right? That is a Freemason symbol right there. This could be the Freemason Holy Trinity, which is Satan, Lucifer, and Haram Abiff.
It's weird that the like English crown is in that.
Because, I mean, you got green. Green is like the Emerald Tablet. It's just so deep, dude. There's a lot of stuff in here. This seems to be some sort of like Bible worker versus something. Shepherd. That's not a shepherd. Iron that's cross. Like a right. Yeah. I mean, the iron cross. There's a lot of stuff in here. So, but this is the leader of this Ukrainian Greek Orthodox Catholic Church.
Not Orthodox Catholic, just Catholic.
But they keep calling themselves that. They keep mixing these things up.
Where does
that's
it say?
Just because
it?
That's the no, church's
because Catholic, that one that you looked up actually is a weird thing. But what you're looking up now is just Ukrainian Catholic Church.
But they still, I can't get
just
past
that one though.
I can't get past the fact that they still rep the Orthodox cross. Right, I cannot
just
get past that.
One church does. So,
but this is, he's been, this guy with that family seal has been to that location and he spent time.
And that's
there.
A weird thing that this, like the head of this church has been to that location. Like the heads of churches don't go to little small town
with a
churches
population of five people. That's what I'm saying. There's something more to that.
Yeah.
That is a Catholic Orthodox church.
I never knew that until you guys released the episode. That is highly suspicious because
I don't look into the Orthodox cross too much.
Okay. That's fair.
I think a normal Christian could worship like a crucifix if it was an Orthodox cross. I don't think that makes any difference. I don't think it makes any difference what kind of cross it is.
I do like the idea that that church is the entrance to like the underground city of the world.
Because not every cross at our church is that kind of cross either. There's just normal crosses as well.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting, man.
Can I throw something at you? When people make the sign of the cross, they start their hands are at their side. They go up from their belly, touch, 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 touch and come back down. You ever notice that makes a five-pointed pentagram?
Well, and it's really an upside down cross too. When you go, it's an upside down. That's
you're,
I mean,
you're saying people
thing.
Start at their belly.
Well, they don't start, but your hand passes your belly from your side, dun 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 dun, and when you come back down, all those motions just made a pentagram.
Well, and yeah, you rest your hand at your side, so like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never understood that.
Another big one is when Orthodox people cross themselves, you go to forehead, torso, then you go to your right side and your left side. And the Catholics go forehead, torso, left side, right side. So if you ever see anybody cross to the right, that's the Orthodox way. So like if you watch UFC last weekend when that big gigantic Russian dude knocked out Tai Tuivasa.
Yeah. Pavlovich, dog.
Yeah, he crossed himself the Orthodox way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. So right to left is Orthodox, left to right is Catholic.
I have to take the dogs outside.
Okay.
They have to go.
Yeah, outside. Yeah, we'll wrap up right now. Yeah, man, I appreciate this. This is mind-blowing stuff, and it adds more speculation to this weird little town. Adam, thanks for reaching out, dude. I appreciate very much when you listen and share your thoughts on the episodes. Share what you're up to, dude, with Deborah Gets Red Pilled and whatever else you're up to.
Same thing, just putting out shows, sometimes with her, sometimes without her. Gonna do doing some headlines shows with her tomorrow. We're gonna get deep into putt play.
Ooh, what's that?
It's more
golf
like
porn?
Guys wear no pup, P-U-P.
Oh, I thought it was putt play. Okay.
Like kind of we're gonna go deep into Sam Brinton, putt play. It's where guys wear masks, dog masks.
Hey, well, you got to look into the guy that was in charge of monkeypox.
Oh, yeah. That guy's a satanic homo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and he likes his puppy play.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Yeah.
And, they were trying to normalize that for a while. They put it on a bunch of different shows.
And I actually got into an argument with a big time faggot. He makes like adult coloring books of like dudes' assholes and stuff. And he was mad at me about what I was saying about this guy.
Yeah.
Strange.
How did he find you? He's a listener of the show.
I don't think so. He just saw that I was talking shit about like his idol.
I have to take the dogs
outside.
Take him out. See you guys later.
Bye, Kim. It was awesome meeting you. Office stands.
Nice to see you later. Go stay in trouble, Kim. You guys.
Oh, but, we'll try.
Yeah. Other than that, just doing the thing. And yeah, I would encourage anyone. I know the past 2 years left some sort of a spiritual hole in my body. And I saw evil running rampant all over the world. And yeah, I'm glad that I was able to go check out Orthodoxy. And if anybody's, you know, Christian curious like you are, Ryan, I would encourage you to go check out a divine liturgy at your local Eastern Orthodox Church. There's different ones. There's Russian, there's Greek. They're all pretty much the same, little differences, but it's if you go to Eastern Orthodox Church, it's a wild thing. And just go do some just go check it out. Even if you're not interested, it's pretty crazy. People will be nice to you and you'll see Christianity in its original, what I believe to be its original form.
Mm. So, yeah, you sent me one here in my city, and I'm very tempted to check it out. I just, I don't know. For me, it's tough to find a church to go to that I actually feel excited to go about. And it's great that you found one, Adam. But for me personally, at least right now, I feel that I can connect with who I think created me and the world and everything else on my own terms. And I don't think that God needs me to reach out to him or it or whatever we refer to God as, in order to get guidance. But that's just my perspective on it. Everyone feels different about this. And I think that that's what is such a beautiful thing about just religion. And I hate the term spirituality, but that's, at the end of the day, that is what it is. It's getting spiritual. It's feeling like you're connected with whatever created you, and that's good. You have your ways of doing it. I have my ways of doing it. Ghost has his ways of doing it. But I very much appreciate that you sent me a location of a church that I should check out. And I'm very tempted to, I will say that 100%. I'm being honest. I feel very tempted to go check this place out. So, thank you very much for the interest in this, Adam. It means a lot. But, yeah. Ghost, what are you up to?
6'4" full of shit.
Absolutely. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Doing the normal, grind over here with the regular episode, Talk of the Tavern, Cunt. Make sure people send in those questions. Getting some good ones. And Adam, wow. I'm honored to be here and invited, because this enlightened me. And I learned some new things that I kind of forgot about Orthodoxy, because I think maybe that's what my mom went to, was an Orthodox kind of she called it Catholicism, but the way you were describing things, I was like, man, I remember doing that. But hey, I don't know. Everybody knows, if they don't know where to find me from Ryan's, feed, then I don't know what to say, because we do a lot of work together. So, but yeah, thanks for letting me jump on and give my little two cents and, being 40 minutes from Centralia. And like I said, I wish, the three of you, or four, if you brought your wife, Adam, come out, I could take you to Centralia and you'd be highly disappointed at the end of the day. The church is beautiful, but to go through the town, you're just like, don't see the hype. I don't see it. But maybe that's just because I've been there. I'm kind of from the area and I hear all these other people talk, and, they have, they read stuff online, and then you're like, no, that's not it at all. Like, no, you can drive right through there. Hell, I'm pretty sure, if my memory serves right, on one of the roads that were still there, we pulled down one and nobody was around. I'm pretty sure my wife went out and took a piss, because there was no toilets around. And
she was trying to put out the fire, doing her part.
Yeah, she was trying to put out the fire, doing her, the civilian duty. So, but no, thank you for having me on for this. It was a blast.
For sure, man. And yeah, Adam, keep it up, dude. Keep up what you're doing over there as well. This is interesting stuff for sure. So I appreciate that. And you guys are really doing a good job over there with Deborah Gets Red Pilled. So keep it up, keep doing that thing. And Ghost, obviously, I mean, you know what I think about your work, buddy. So, keep doing
it. Yeah, it sucks.
It's a solid six. Okay.
It's a solid six.
Damn, no, I appreciate everything that you guys are doing, man. And this was a fun impromptu episode on a Sunday, man. If you guys want this, if you want to share it on your feeds, feel free, hit me up. We can share this, get it out to people, because it's an interesting topic there in Centralia. And is it CIA? Is it KGB? Is it satanic? Is it not? I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully someday. But thank you, guys. And until next time, everybody, take care. And we'll talk soon. Take care, guys. What you're doing over there as well. This is interesting stuff for sure. So I appreciate that. And you guys are really doing a good job over there with Deborah Gets Red Pilled. So keep it up, keep doing that thing. And Ghost, obviously, I mean, you know what I think about your work, buddy. So, keep doing
it. Yeah, it sucks.
Hey, it's a solid six. Okay.
It's a solid six.
Damn, no, I appreciate everything that you guys are doing, man. And this was a fun impromptu episode on a Sunday, man. If you guys want this, if you want to share it on your feeds, feel free to hit me up. We can share this, get it out to people, because it's an interesting topic there in Centralia. And is it CIA? Is it KGB? Is it satanic? Is it not? I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully someday. But thank you, guys. And until next time, everybody, take care. And we'll talk soon. Take care, guys.